This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us is Mr. Sam Bosfield of Samson Switchblade, which is something I followed from its inception.
Yes, you have. You've been a very loyal fan to them.
I mean, guys, it's a flying car that actually looks like a car. It doesn't look like a car with things sticking out of it that make it an airplane. Right?
That's a great explanation.
That's a great description.
For all of you people out there with vivid imaginations, forget it.
Now, you've been working up to first flight, and you finally had first flight.
We did. Last November, took to the skies. It was a great, great moment for us. Anything
that flies.
I can
imagine a lot of jumping up and down and screaming.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's good.
Wait a minute. The pilot report, okay? When he lands this after its first flight, did he say, well, you know, it's pretty cool, but it flies like a truck?
No. But he did jump. He was very excited. You can see his smile when he got out. He was very pleased. I think we flew about five different tests during that first flight. And everything turned out pretty good. Positive control authority, balanced control feel, flew pilot control. His idea of it was pretty good as far as flying vehicle, and he was willing to go right back up again.
Well, that says something right there.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'm not getting near that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and that's what you're looking for, because you don't want to have something, well, you know, it's okay, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's always a but. It's just a question of how big it is.
Yes, we had a but, too. It was our thrust. We didn't have adequate thrust to get up to our top speed. You know, we're a high-performance vehicle, both modes. So we set the bar pretty dang high.
Okay, define high.
Well, 160-mile-an-hour cruise in the air, and then on the ground we were saying we should top 125. Now,
well,
we did top 125, so that's good.
Yeah.
But we didn't hit 160, so we had to go back at it.
How short were you from the 160?
We were at 120, which is not close enough.
Right, right. That's 40 mph, you know, and speed is everything.
Well, especially, and going from 120 to 160, that's you need a lot of power in there.
It's a curve. It goes up and
straight
up.
Straight up, yeah.
So, yep.
So I was looking at your solution. You sort of almost started over.
We kept a lot. Doesn't look like that, but it does. We did save a lot of it. When you look down on the aircraft, it's almost identical in plan form, like the view from the top. Mm-hmm. And that's where aerodynamics and the aerodynamicists actually design the plane. They look down on it, look at the area of the wings, where they're located, the tail and all that. So from that viewpoint, it wasn't a huge change, but there's a lot of things that did change, including cleaning up the tail area, less drag, having a simpler fold of the tail so it completely disappears inside the body in ground mode. You can't see it at all. And also that we got the thrust aligned and thrusters in clean air so that they could do their job efficiently, and that made all the difference in the world.
Okay, so you're building that prototype as we speak.
Yes, we started. The engineering of it's been pretty well finished off. Now we're into the starting of the production for the parts, and then we'll start assembling it over the next 12 months.
I imagine it's going to go quicker because all the lessons learned from the first one.
Absolutely. To be honest with you, this redesign happened in, 5 months, I guess it was? And it took it from redesign into the wind tunnel with a completed this-will-work aircraft into the wind tunnel and now clear that into production. That's a heck of a fast turnaround.
Yeah, yeah, especially for the scope of the changes.
Yeah.
They weren't small changes.
All right, well, you're talking about a lack of top speed here. What was your original power plant?
Originally, we had a 1 liter, about 204 horsepower, turbocharged liquid-cooled engine, and now we've bumped it to a 300 horsepower, same liquid-cooled turbocharged engine, but it has got the capability at 70% power to kick out what we need for cruise, not pushing it like the other one. We had to push it. Mm. So this engine is a good production engine because it'll last a long time.
Right, right. This is not your own engine design, though.
No, we are taking it. It's an automotive-based and sourced engine. We modify it for our use because we, you know, put in the aircraft redundancies that you need. Water pumps, if you will, for the coolant.
Yeah, that was the next thing, the cooling system.
Yeah, it's liquid cooled. So twin coolant pumps, twin fuel pumps, twin computers, all that kind of stuff, just so that we know we've got the redundancies built in.
Good. Good. And if it's like an EcoBoost engine, they've been around a bit, so they're proven.
Yeah, this thing has got, this is commonly used for racing and for engine tuners when they do re-engines for automobiles, because it's got the history of a bulletproof engine.
I like that.
I like that too, bulletproof.
Now let's talk about that, because you got an engine, mm-hmm. but you are not driving propellers mechanically.
Wildly enough, that is correct. We opted to go with hybrid electric. We were going to do a hybrid electric on the wheels this go around into production, but we're thinking we would go mechanical with a single ducted fan in the back, mechanical prop to the engine. But because we had to go to twin fans, in other words, we had a 40-inch prop in the back, single. Now we have twin 40-inch props
In
free air. And with that, there's no way to do mechanical. So we went hyperelectric for that, too.
Nice.
It's a definite interesting way to do it. Electrically, it's a little complicated, but mechanically, it's dirt simple.
Yeah, we have some really good consultants. One that works mostly at Boeing, but he works outside as well. And that's all he does. This is his bread and butter.
Oh, no kidding. Hybrid drives.
Yeah.
So are you driving the wheels mechanically, or are they electric as well?
Electric as well.
Nice.
But a 0 to 60 mile per hour time of about 5.6 seconds.
Wow, that's
respectable.
That's spill your coffee fast.
Yep. It's really zippy. It's fun to drive. Oh, my gosh. It's just fun to drive.
Oh, and I can imagine.
And you're pushing how many horsepower out of this new engine?
210. For cruise at 160 miles an hour at 8,000 feet.
Okay. I had a question and it just flew away.
Poof.
Yeah.
It took off at 160 and had
exactly.
I saw it going east.
It's still going.
Yeah.
Didn't even file a flight plan.
I was going to say, it's interesting though. Are you using separate speed controllers for each motor, or are you using just one
single
and switching it all around?
Yeah, so for the pilot, it's a single lever. So he has, it's single lever on or off for him, and so it's very simple. The computers do take over and translate that to what needs to happen between the engine and the electric motors so that everything works well together. But that, you know, that's, we've been doing hybrids for ages now,
yeah.
Prius and everything.
Are right. these off-the-shelf components, or have you had stuff specifically designed and built for you?
We stuck our weight right where we would need it to be to cover using off-the-shelf components to start with. So we're going to be prototyping with that and starting our development in that sense. But we are in talks with different electric motor makers so that as we get into towards production, if we can shave some weight off of that by having vehicle-specific designs done, we'll just throw that into useful load and increase everybody's happiness factor.
That was the question. It came back.
Okay.
Happiness
what
factor?
Is the useful load?
It entered in. It's on downwind right now.
It's on downwind, heading for base. Yeah.
It came
but
back.
In my case, it'll land short.
Oh, no. Well, ours is landing at about 577 pounds useful. I talked to a motor maker just 2 days ago from Germany. It looks like we can add about 27 pounds to useful using his generator. So might be up there closer to 600.
That's respectable.
Over.
Yeah, that's decent. Because I'm third of that right there.
I was going to say generator. You mean alternator, don't you?
No,
well,
we don't.
You're running DC.
We're running. We go with an internal combustion engine driving a generator, and then generator goes to what we think will be a six-minute battery. The six-minute battery is just enough so that if you're coming up out of the pattern, say, and your engine quits, that's kind of the worst case. You're down in a city
right.
or around people, usually at airports, and you're coming off and all of a sudden your engine quits and you're going to find some place to land in front of you, and it's not often pretty. So this would give you the 6 minutes you could zip around the pattern and get to a landing and be safe in that respect. Or if you're out there in the mountains, you can stretch a glide.
Yeah, so it would actually be a situation where you've lost power, but you haven't lost power.
Exactly.
You've still got full power available, but just time limited.
Yeah. To me, better than a parachute.
Yeah, yeah. I like that idea.
It allows you to make that dreaded turn, the 180.
The possible turn?
The impossible turn back to the airport.
There you go. Now it's the possible turn.
Exactly, the possible turn.
Yeah, with power, you can do it. If you're in a glide, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little. You got to be a little careful.
Of course you do, but
like,
you
don't even try it.
Right? Yeah. Land straight ahead. Avoid the whole problem.
Avoid
there
you the go. Rush.
Uh-huh.
So this would be one of the few cars that could land on a highway, and then just fold up and keep going.
Yeah. Or here's the other scenario. You're running from the state police. Yeah. You fold the wings
gosh.
Out. Bye-bye.
We just had, actually, we had our second state enact some legislation for making it easy to register a flying car on the ground, right? Registration on the ground is state-driven. Anyway, yeah. So we had Minnesota do theirs, and they actually did allow certain areas where you could take off and land from roads way up in the north side, specific roads. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
So that's another sign I have to watch out for on the highway, landing zone.
Look out.
Well, Sam, I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good luck on your project.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Well, I don't have any doubt that they'll succeed. Their approach has been so professional and methodical. As I've read the newsletters and looked at the photographs, and the amount of testing that he's done is like, oh, my God, this is incredible. This is not a home built. This is of an aircraft factory.
It's certified.
This is Boeing on a small scale. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to see the thing. You should go see it in the, you know, either online or in the hangar or the tent, because it has a different look and it's really cool.
All right. We've been speaking with Sam Bosfeld from Samson Switchblade. Go check it out.
Definitely.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.